Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Pitch to Sadon is swung on and driven high and deep into center field. It's at the track. It is at the wall. Off the wall. Romy's coming at third. The Red Sox are going to the playoffs. Sadon, say hello to October. It's a 4-3 walk-off winner.
Oh, we got what we wanted, Keefe. Sure did. Red Sox back in the postseason. And we get the Yankees, which is exactly...
It's exactly what we wanted.
Exact, not just from a buzz,
no,
interest level, talk radio standpoint.
It's who they're going to beat.
But I think it's the best matchup on the field. I do.
I agree. I didn't want anything to do with Cleveland. Because Cleveland's under some sort of witchcraft, black magic that I don't want to even go up against.
And make that clear. I don't think they're very talented.
Yeah.
But... that's the team. That's a buzzsaw you don't want to deal with right now.
By the way, their team's nasty, right? And I talked about my trip to Cleveland brag earlier in the year where it was $2 beers and Emmanuel Class A jerseys, which he's now suspended from baseball.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Still have the jersey, though.
Yeah.
So my buddy who lives down there, he texted me over the weekend, and he's like,
I'm sick brag, bro.
He's like, I'm at the game again. He took a picture. He's out in center field. He's like, not only is it $2 beers, it's $1 hot dogs.
Man.
They're like on their way to winning the World Series, and he's eating $1 dogs, drinking $2 beers.
That's living.
It is living.
That's living.
It tastes better at the ballpark, the dogs and the beers,
they
and
do.
He was just having a blast. And so I didn't want to face them. Detroit, I don't know, the Red Sox didn't have the best – head-to-head this season with Detroit.
No, they ended up 2-4 against them.
So I would rather face the Blue Jays or the Yankees. And I'm like, you know what? I'd rather face the Yankees. Yeah, Skubal, I know what you're going to say.
Skubal's just the neutralizer with Crochet, where you're like, if he's on his game, and who knows how he's going to pitch after his last outing against Cleveland, he melted down.
Yep.
But if he's on his game, that's a guy who can offset Crochet.
Now, obviously, I would rather this series at Fenway, but the last couple of weeks, it felt like, all right, they're going to be on the road for the wild card round. And which one of four possibilities would you have? And out of the four, this is the one that I wanted the most.
Same.
They dominated them during the regular season. You have a huge advantage with Crochet. Aaron Judge isn't the greatest postseason performer of all time, despite being one of the best baseball players in the last decade. He's not great in the postseason. The rest of their lineup is better than I gave it credit for. Like, during the season, I'm like, they're a one-man team. And then you look at it, you're like, well, no, Jazz Chisholm's like 30-30. Cody Bellinger had a good
Stanton
year.
Stanton hits bombs. Yeah. Bellinger's good.
It's definitely, better
30,
than I
30,
thought.
As you just said. Ben Rice. But, so they have some guys.
But they also, their best pitchers are lefties, and the Red Sox have had some good lefty killer lineups. And so I'll take my chances against the Yankees.
So, agreed. And the other piece to it is, if you advance... and again, the Red Sox haven't been here since they redid the format in baseball. But just know, if you are unaware, they don't reseed. You know who's waiting for you in the next round. It's the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
So it's Yankees, where you have Crochet tomorrow night in game one. Win that, you just got to split the other two. And then it's Toronto. And that's your path to the ALCS,
maybe,
which is very, very, very manageable. It doesn't mean they do it. It doesn't mean they get there, but... I don't know. That's about as good of a road as you could expect there.
And it's probably our two biggest rivals, right? You have the Yankees and Canada.
All of Canada.
The whole country.
And their lack of baseball IQ, which they take very personally.
They do. They're still mad at Brian Roberts. Poor Brian Roberts. Gets his name on the Mitchell Report. Now Canada hates him.
Now all of Canada's upset with him, yeah.
No, but this is super exciting, and it was an exciting way to get into the playoffs, too. Now, you might say, well, if you're in, you're in. But the last couple of days... that we were on the air, it was like it could be very anticlimactic. Like the Houston Astros could just lose another game and then you make the playoffs. And then you're like doing like a weird champagne celebration when you lost, but so did the Astros late at night against the Angels. That would have been for the birds. Instead, you have another walk-off. This team suddenly has had a million walk-offs this year.
The way they got in.
You can truly say you're allowed to really celebrate that. And they did, by the way. They went nuts.
Oh, they did. It was great. Friday night was great. And it wasn't a fun watch initially. Like, my guy Harrison's out there.
Oh, you're down 3-0, and you're like, oh, I'm going to have to stay up and watch the Astros game?
He's mowing them down Harrison to start. Stinks. He's mowing them down to start. I'm like, here we go. He's going to jam it in everybody's face. He's going to jam it in Nick's face. And then next thing you know, it's just walk, walk, hit.
What was that, 10
hit,
base runners
walk,
in 3 innings?
Hit. Yeah, 3-0.
Yeah, there's a lot happening.
Look, let me give Cora this. I've been very critical of Cora all year. Cora on Friday was awesome.
Oh, he managed his tail off.
And if you want to point to the Red Sox and why they could go on a run in the postseason, if that's how Cora's going to manage a regular season game, if he's going to manage like that in the postseason,
it'll be even more aggressive.
I'll be on board with everybody who said Cora's a difference maker. I haven't seen enough of that in 4 or 5, even going back to 2018. It's been a long time since I've seen Cora make any kind of difference. Friday night, you saw it. Friday night is what people talk about when they talk about him as being worth $7 million a year and one of the best managers in the game. You saw it.
I wouldn't be shocked if in the playoffs at some point, if they advance past this round and then are still going, where they might close out a game Crochet, Whitlock, Chapman.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me at all. We've seen it before. Because Whitlock and Chapman, just those two guys alone give you such a huge advantage. Like, we've seen a lot of playoff teams, Red Sox teams, for example, too, that when they have guys like that that can just shut down a game, it makes the job easier for the manager. Now, if the starter gets knocked out early, okay, then it's like all hands on deck. Let's figure out how you get those middle innings done. But Whitlock and Chapman have just been so dominant this year. And then their lineup is wild because with no Roman Anthony, you look at it and you're like, well, you know, on paper, there's no Manny Ramirez, there's no David Ortiz. And yet they have so many guys that have signature moments. Like, Rafaela walks it off to get him in there. But Narvaez is at big games. Freaking Nathaniel Lowe was at big games. They've had a lot of games. A lot of different players get game winners this year.
We talked about this last week when they were in Toronto. It's like Narvaez and Rafaela. Yep. I don't know if I'm counting on him every single at bat.
You're not.
But there is a flair for the dramatic there. And so, yeah, I like this matchup. This is the matchup that I wanted. Text line. Does say, Keith, aren't you nervous about the late season trends with the Yankees kicking the Sox ass? Red Sox won a lot in the beginning. I mean, the Red Sox won a series. The Red Sox won 3 of 4 in late August.
Yeah.
They did drop 2 of 3.
They lost 2 of 3 a couple weeks back.
Yeah, at home in the middle of September. Yeah. But they won on Sunday Night Baseball. It's like,
and the game they won was a crochet game.
They lost one series to the Yankees all year. And it was the most recent one, so I'm not saying it's not relevant, but am I freaking out about the most recent trend? The Red Sox won the last game they played. Uh-huh. And as you said, it was a crochet game.
Uh-huh.
So, no, I'm not nervous about that, meaning the late season trend. Could they lose to the Yankees? Sure. I don't think it's automatic by any means. But that doesn't make me nervous about the way it's going down. But Friday night was great. Rafaela walking it off. Cora, just as you said, Keith, managed a monster of a game. And they came through when they needed to make the weekend stress-free.
Yeah.
Because it felt pretty stressful on Friday night, and you're like, oh, God.
No, it shouldn't be.
Well, it's Connelly early, and then what are they doing again on Sunday? And it didn't get to it because they walked it off Friday night, and it lets everybody reset, relax, and get ready for this tomorrow.
It was a bit of a roller coaster just because last week at this time, they had an off day on Monday. We were like, this is going to be, like, get ready for this week. And then it was back-to-back wins. You're like, oh, this is going to be over early. And then it wasn't, right? Then you lose, and then the Astros win. And you're like, oh, this isn't going to go into the weekend, is it?
Yeah.
And then they're down 3-0 in the game on Friday, and you're like, oh, this is going to come down to Saturday? And then you're like looking at the pitching matchups. You're like, wait, what the hell? You're like, your head was just spinning. But not only do they go in like, really the only way they should have gone in was with a walk-off hit like that, Fenway Park going crazy, and now they're all ready to go for the season. They cap off a 89 win season. Pretty great. Although Alex Cora.
Okay, I was just gonna get to this. So real quick, what sort of shot are you giving the Red Sox against the Yankees now that we know the matchup? It's Toronto waiting after that if you want to get ahead of yourselves.
I give them a great chance.
What sort of chance are you giving them to go on a run beginning with the Yankees? 617-779-7937. So you just brought this up. Alex Cora. This was a Saturday after they clinched?
I think they clinched, yeah.
He said, let's be honest, nobody, and I'm reading here from Christopher Smith, let's be honest, nobody thought they were going to make it, we were going to make it, rather, in October when the season started. Whoever says, yeah, we were a playoff team, that's effing BS, to be honest with you.
You sure about that?
Nobody thought we were going to make it to October. It was New York, it was Baltimore, it was Toronto, you know, and we believe we were going to play in October. We set our standards every single day, and we hit our standards.
I can't speak for everybody, but I can't speak for everybody on this show.
Yeah.
We did our predictions like we did for all the teams, and this way we can be right, wrong, or in between. All four of us had them making the playoffs. I think all four of us had them winning the division. Lanny had him winning the World Series.
Lanny,
you and Nick had him losing the World Series. I had him in the ALCS.
Lanny has, the Red Sox over the Phillies. That's a World Series that's still alive.
Sure is.
I had the Phillies over the Red Sox in the World Series. Nick had the Braves over the Red
it
Sox.
It won't be the Braves.
So that one's not happening. But three people on this show had them in the World Series.
No.
One of us had them winning it, and you had them again in the ALCS.
In the ALCS. And yes. So you know what was funny? So I saw those comments that he made over the weekend, and I was like, did we make a graphic? And I couldn't find the graphic of all of our predictions.
I couldn't either. I was trying to find that.
I thought we did, but
I thought we
whatever.
Did too.
I couldn't find it. So then I put into Google, I was like, Jones and Keefe Red Sox season predictions, like just as like a long shot.
Yeah.
And boom, Google AI pops up and it has like a breakdown of what we thought about the Red Sox, including it says optimistic prediction. And then it says March 2025 with link and it goes, division and pennant winners. One perspective from Jones and Keefe was that the Red Sox would win the AL East with 93 wins and go on to win the American League pennant, losing only in the World Series. I'm like, that is pretty accurate. And I also don't understand how that works.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how they figure that out. I mean, it's the internet, so they know everything. But
I think a lot. Oh yeah, it's up on Twitch right now. Yeah. Twitch.tv/.
But pretty funny.
So I think a lot of people had the Red Sox. I don't know what he's talking about.
So
a lot of people had them in the playoffs.
This isn't full Rodney Harrison, like in 03, 04, being like, nobody thought we could do it. It's like, everybody thought you could do it. In fact, we were shocked that you wouldn't. Or even like Tom Brady, when they beat the Chiefs, he's like, everybody thinks we suck. It's like, nobody has ever said that you suck. But it's kind of like that. Like, I don't know where he's coming from. Like, I guess he's trying to lower the bar so much that, like, it looks like he did, like, the greatest job ever. But no, you were 500 a year ago, added Garrett Crochet and Alex Bregman. We assumed you were going to be a lot better this year, and you were. But, okay, like, it's not like nobody thought that. Everybody
now,
thought that.
Now, if he wanted to say no one thought we were going to be a playoff team after the Devers trade, that he might be right about. Although, again, don't come talking to me and Keith.
Oh, true. True.
So, but that, to me, would be a more accurate statement.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people bailed when they traded Devers.
Yeah, people didn't love the Devers trade. Then people didn't love the deadline.
So,
but preseason, you should be where you are.
Tons of people had the Red Sox in the playoffs in the offseason. We were among many. I think we were among few standing by the Red Sox chances of making the playoffs without Devers. And we were among the few that thought they'd be better off without Devers. So, of course, talking about that, fine. But he said before the year it was Baltimore and Toronto and all I remember talking about is how bad the AL is and they should get in. And that's kind of what happened. Real quick, text line, 617-779-7937. Guys, the only rotten thing about Friday night was that it was an Apple TV broadcast.
Oh, that sucks. You're right.
The injustice.
Hopefully you're listening to it right here.
Of Dave O'Brien and Lou Maloney not being able to call that game. Like, the injustice of them not calling the game doesn't bother me.
Well, I heard Will Fleming call the game.
If it was a nationally televised game, it wouldn't bother me. But yeah, I mean, the whole Apple TV thing was a travesty. And unfortunately, a lot of people didn't get to watch.
Especially for the people that did watch it, they didn't have a score bug for about the first three innings. You had no idea what was going on.
I actually didn't know that.
That was weird.
I was driving. I saw that when I came back. The internet was freaking out that there was no score bug for a long period of time. Which is why, good job, Apple. Not only could a lot of people not watch, but the people who could had no idea what was going on.
I'm going to once again forget to cancel my subscription.
Yeah, I'm stuck with it.
So that was indeed a mess. But if you were watching along, it was a great Friday night, and this week should be fun. You can discuss 617-779-7937. We'll get back to the Patriots on a Patriots Monday. Drake May already ahead of schedule. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now more of Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Drake, is this kind of the best version of yourself, like kind of taking what the defense gives you, moving the ball around, managing the football? Like, is this who you project to be and who you want to be moving forward?
Yeah, sure. I sure hope so. If he leads to wins, you know, that's what I'm trying to, you know, become, and the quarterback I'm trying to become. You know, I've tried to do it, you know, kind of just, you know, my whole career, kind of like spread it around and give it to the guys that they can make plays. And, you know, I think everybody's got some, you know, chance on our team, you know, our skill guys to make make the defense, you know, give them a problem. And I think we got guys on the team that are great with the football in their hands and just trying to do my best job of getting to them quick and don't hold it.
Another strong performance out of Drake May yesterday. Now, they didn't need him to do a ton.
No.
And they didn't ask him to throw it a whole lot.
Very efficient.
When he did another efficient, I shouldn't say another efficient, maybe the most efficient performance of Drake May's career, turnovers were dialed back. The only turnover-worthy play that I remember anyway was his first throw of the day where he threw into double or triple coverage and almost threw a pick. He had as many touchdowns, two through the air, one on the ground. What do you call them again, Keith?
Darts and scampers.
Yeah, two darts, one scamper.
Yeah. A dart can also just be a big play downfield.
Good point. It doesn't necessarily need to be a touchdown.
It wasn't a touchdown.
Great point.
The scampers typically are touchdowns.
You typically want to get in the end zone.
You have a big gainer.
You could. Yeah. So he had as many touchdowns as he had in completions yesterday and largely looked in control. We talked to Hunter Henry. The touchdown throw to Hunter Henry is an exceptional Drake May play where he is rolling to his left, gets it to Henry. Henry had a nice run after the catch. If you want to give credit to Pop Douglas blocking on that play, you can too. It was one of the few plays he was out there. So you look at how Drake is playing, and we did some of this last week.
Yeah.
How does he compare through 3 weeks to Josh Allen? How does he compare through three weeks to Justin Herbert? Not present day, those guys, but where they were at 3 weeks into their second season. And he already compares favorably. Where he was lagging was the wins and the turnovers. Well, he got a win. Mm-hmm. He didn't turn it over. And he's playing really good football right now.
Four games in, and you know these are always risky to do their projections, but four games, decent sample size. It's a growing sample size week by week. But essentially a quarter of the way through the season, he is on pace.
Good.
For a 30-touchdown season. Yep. Passing, not even the rushing, just passing touchdowns. He's on pace for 30 of them, and he's on pace for just under 4,200 yards passing. Now, you remember his over-under to begin the year was something like 3,220.
Yeah.
So he's still, you know, he can even have some not, he doesn't have to have this type of performance week in and week out and still smash the over. He's also completing 74% of his passes. And not to give away all of Keefe's keys here, Jones, for the week.
Please
but,
don't.
When he throws a pick this year, they haven't won. And when he runs in a touchdown, they've won every time. So just something that you keep your eyes on. Obviously, the turnover stat is very, very simple. But if he's not turning it over, the offense is in a great spot, and they can be, you know, fairly dangerous. And then if he is, they become much more pedestrian. But I think even through four games, to think that, all right, this guy's on pace for a 30-touchdown pass season is pretty promising.
I easily would have taken the under on that.
Yep.
So real quick, do you know who leads the NFL in completion percentage? 74%.
Drake May. Hell yeah.
Now, not everybody's played yet. Like, for instance, Tua, if he's super accurate tonight, I guess maybe you could track him down. It would take a lot of work. But with two games remaining, two Monday night games tonight, four quarterbacks to play, Drake May leads the NFL in completion percentage. If you had to guess where Drake May is in yards, Keith, 988 yards through four games. Again, not everybody has played four games. But where do you think that ranks?
Seventh.
Sixth.
Sixth! All right.
Touchdowns. This is just passing touchdowns. Drake May this season has Joe Castiglione.
How many?
Seven.
He has seven of them.
Okay.
Where do you think that ranks?
Seven.
No, close.
Nine?
Eighth.
Eighth?
Quarterback rating. I think you gave this away.
Oh, I already had this. I had this number.
109.4. That's fifth in the league.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, those are the makings of a top 10 quarterback.
Right. If I had to sit down and actually rank it, is he a top 10 quarterback in the league? I probably wouldn't put him in the top 10 yet. few more weeks, another month or two of this, maybe I'd change my mind on that. But he's playing like a top 10 quarterback right now. I don't know if he's actually a top 10 quarterback, but through the first 4 weeks of the year, he's certainly playing like one. And that does let you know he's on that same trajectory as the Josh Allens and Justin Herberts of the world. If you want him to reach that status, if he keeps doing this, he will reach that status, especially if you get wins like he got yesterday.
Well, yeah, and that's what's promising, too, about this stretch. And I'm not trying to ignore the turnovers from the Pittsburgh game, but the Miami game, I still think is his best game he's ever played. But this was a close second, and it really was a pretty good overall performance in the Pittsburgh game. So it's not like, oh, we haven't seen him look this good since, and you got to like really go back
to last year.
No, he's kind of stacking up some pretty good performances, and you can see where this is going. And I think, you know, just his connection to Steph Diggs yesterday is reason for positivity, because you're like, it seemed like earlier it was like he and Hunter Henry, even in the Miami game, it was Stevenson in the past game. But it was like, all right, you're kind of working with some of these other guys, but the receivers haven't really gotten it going yet. And now we get Steph Diggs very much involved. So now if you can kind of like add all of that together, it's a great sign for kind of where he can continue to go the rest of the season.
Yeah. Now, look, and I don't know where the Bills rank defensively, but it's got to be better than Carolina. Mm. So, you know, how's he going to face off against real defenses when he gets them? If he gets them this year, the schedule's ridiculously easy. But even a team like Cleveland's a horrible team. Their defense has been awesome. So maybe he'll get tested against better defenses. Maybe he'll get tested against better teams.
Bills defense, 17th in points, 10th in yards.
Okay. So, yeah, again.
They're really bad against the run, too.
Yeah. And, well, Henry killed him week one. That's true.
Yes, that's probably skewed.
I mean, Kamara and Miller yesterday ran all over him.
Okay, fair. So maybe they've been poor all year against the run.
Again, Cerberus backfield can have a big game.
My point is you're not going to get the Carolina defense every single week is my point.
Right.
So maybe those
just
numbers,
most weeks.
Maybe those numbers come down because you're not going to face that same team or that easy of a schedule every single week. But I do think there's room for it to grow. You just highlighted it. Steph Diggs. Diggs, week one was fine.
Yeah.
Weeks two and three, kind of invisible. Yesterday is the best game that he had. So I think not only is what he's doing sustainable, Keith, against some of these opponents, but there's room for it to grow. If his connection with Diggs can grow and Diggs can look healthier and healthier further removed from the ACL surgery, if he's not vintage Steph Diggs, right, a bona fide number one, he's this team's clear-cut number one, and that can continue to grow. And even if he's going to level off a little bit in some ways, that's an area where it should continue to expand and get better.
Plus, like the X factor that is his running ability, and yesterday really wasn't a day where he had to do it, nor should he have done it. He got him on the board, or, you know, Marcus Jones got him on the board, but then their first offensive possession, or first offensive score, I should say, was him running it in. So you know he's capable of it, but just sort of pick and choose, you know, when the right time is for him to run. He clearly has that ability to do so. And, yeah, finding, like, the new favorite receiver or getting on the same page with some of these guys going forward. But, you know, four games in with Josh McDaniels, I'll toss him some credit, too. Those two guys kind of working together for the first time. Already better than expected.
Look, I'll toss McDaniels some credit.
Yeah.
Some are going, but the McDaniels,
I'm not going to go nuts.
The McDaniels mafia is out in full force today. They're like, oh, he's in his bag. Yeah. And it's like, well, I mean, I don't know. Marcus Jones kind of gave him a lot of short fields yesterday. I'd focus more on that than anything.
Yeah.
But no, look, the McDaniels marriage is working a lot better than I thought, especially after the Raiders game week one, where we're like, is there too much on his plate? Are they on the same page? Are there already, you know, fractures
That's
in that
true.
Relationship?
Really good response. If you go back to that, like that moment, like the Monday after the Raiders game, and then the subsequent couple of days in that conversation, that's been a great response.
So how you feeling about your quarterback? Is he ahead of schedule? And can he keep it up with the growing relationship with Stephon Diggs? Speaking of that, Patriots have their number one in the passing game. We'll get to it coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.